I want to minister a little bit tonight, and we'll go as the Holy Ghost leads us and guides us. And it's fun to laugh. I enjoy laughing. I'm not a funny, I'm a serious man. If you meet me off the pulpit, I'm a very serious man. People say, "You're totally different." Well, it's that anointing of joy that comes. And I can't help myself. Because when I pick up the Bible and read, I had several translations in my room, and I'd run and read different ones. I just get excited about knowing Jesus. Jesus is everything to me. Everything. I don't know how else to say. I can say it in tongues. He is. And I've had some people say, "Well, because you've had some phenomenal experiences in life with the Lord." That's true, but it wasn't that that made me love him. It was that he just accepted me the way I was. He just said, "You need help, boy. You almost in hell." And that was true. But he reached out to me. And he didn't point fingers at me. I'll never forget one time my wife was praying for me to go to church. I hadn't been in church in 12 years or better. And my brother, my oldest brother, had gotten saved, and Kathy was saved, and they was all praying for this heathen boy. And I was playing rock music, you know. And finally I decided, so I could get them off my back, I'm going to go to church. Now you got to realize I had Levi's on and a Levi jacket with a tight t-shirt with embroidery all over it. Imagine my hair down to here. I'm talking freak here, you know. Talk like this. "Hey, what's happening? Get down with your bad self." You know, that kind of stuff. So I went to church. I decided to go to a full gospel church that believed in bondage greatly. I ain't gonna lie about it. When I walked in, you could see the devil's here. The devil's here. And you know, when you're trying to get somebody saved, you try to get them to sit as close as you can to the front, and it just don't work, you know. I said, "Let's just sit back here." This preacher began to preach. I'll never forget. And I just listening. Kathy was praying, "Lord, do something for this boy." And all of a sudden, he gave an altar call and he stopped. He said, "Everybody bow your heads." And then out of it, he said, "Hey, you long-haired dude back there. Hey, you." Of course, everybody, I was the only one with long hair. Everybody else had them white balls, you know. This is the early 70s, 70, not 71, 70, something like that. "Would you like to get saved?" That just made me mad. And I said, "No!" I said, "What's the matter with this idiot?" Kathy going, "Kuba bo, she kuba ye," but just praying in tongues. I'll never forget this. I made a lot of money in my life and wasted most of it. Boy, I mean, it angered me. Instead of drawing them to me, he was looking at the outer exterior. And I can understand I wasn't a picture of a Christian, but I needed help. And I said, "No," real loud, and Kathy praying in tongues. And my brother said, "Lord, don't let him cuss him out," because I didn't care. Make me a lick difference, son. I tell you, I didn't care who you are. I didn't make no difference, you know. And Kathy said, "Don't you cuss him out." I said, "What are you going to do, call God down to wither up my arm? I'll beat him in the head with the knob." Oh, I was angry. I was full of sin. I didn't fear God. I really didn't, because I didn't understand God. And I'm saying this because I'm about ready to get in this message. So it naturally freaked everybody out when I hollered, "No, go on, do what you got to do. I just come here because he want me to come." So nobody went to the altar. I guess not. You know, it was about 4 minutes later, they dismissed, and I was burning, steaming. "Let's get out of this place." And as I walked, I always kept about $2,000 or $3,000 on me. I mean, in $100 bills, just in case I want to buy something that was illegal. Don't look at me weird, you bunch of ex-heathens. You did the same thing yourself. How many ex-drug addict and dopers we got here? Hold your hand up. Look at this. Thank God saved you. you know, and as I went back, I put my hand in my pocket and I was starting to walk out that church and I felt that money. And I grabbed a whole roll of $100 bills. I don't know. It must have been, I don't know, maybe $1,000, maybe $1,500. I don't know. And I turned around, stopped, and I said, say, I'd like to make a donation to the church. Boy, and I'll never forget. Now, they wouldn't accept me, you see, as a Christian. But they all went. And I put that money in their hand. I go to walk on. Of course, Kathy was freaking out. She said, he's giving money to a church. And as I turned around, I said, excuse me. And I reached in my pocket and got the rest of that money. And naturally, they opened their hand. And, of course, the $100 bills began to open up like that. And they thought I was going to give them some more. And I reached back and I grabbed the money. I said, if I'm no good, neither is this money. Stuck it in my pockets, walked out. And I told my wife, I'll never darken the door of a church again as long as I ever live. And don't you talk to me about this stuff. But wives have a way of getting your attention. That night, I was trying to sleep. I could feel those little fingers coming across the sheets. She thought I was asleep, and she put her hand ever so lightly on my shoulder and said, come out of him, devil. Come out of him. And I said, hey, woman, I'm awake. But it touched me. You got to realize something. I have a beautiful wife, but I never told her I loved her until 5 years after I married her. Never said those words. Wasn't allowed to say that because that's not being a man. I was raised like it. You got to be a man, boy. My grandpa told me that one time. You know, I remember 4 or 5 years old. Start to cry. What's the matter with you, boy? You're a boy. You're a man. You don't cry. And I'd cut myself with a knife. And he said, does it hurt? And I went, no. Want to cut the other one? But you know, you build up a lot of things inside. When Jesus came into my life, he took that out of me and set me free. And I want you to turn with me to the book of Philippians, chapter 1. That's in the New Testament. For you people that don't read the Bible. Chapter 1. Now I want to just read a verse of scripture. Verse 21. I got this sermon. I was in my office and I was a little mad at a travel agent because they was messing me up on my airplane tickets and things, and because I had so many of them. We were booking something like 12, 13 tickets at one time. And they try to, I don't mean that in a rude sense, they, I guess maybe to get more money on certain flights. And I believe in short layovers, you know, get me in there, get me out of there so I can go. So I decided to book. I was booking myself. I had Delta on one line and United on another. And when Eastern was flying, Eastern, and even had Southwest Airlines and had those people. And I was getting confused, you know, because I had so many of them. And I said, Lord, this is after I'm saved. I'm going, my God, trying to get the schedule worked. And the Lord spoke something to me. He said, isn't it fun being saved? I said, that's easy for you. You don't have to ride any of these planes. And I want to deal with that scripture in verse 21. Paul the apostle writes to the church at Philippi and he says, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Maybe the reason why some people hadn't got saved is because people didn't tell them it was fun being saved. And I'm not saying you're not going to have trouble in this life, because if you know Jesus Christ, you can take it to the bank. The devil's going to find out who you are. Because he wants to destroy that work of the Lord in your life. And Paul was writing, he said, for me to live is Christ. Now, I understand that. Because I eat, live, and sleep this Jesus. And to die is gain. One time, I've been down in 3 plane crashes. Thank God I hadn't been. The Lord told me, he said, the devil's going to try to kill you. I said, well, do something about it. When you don't know how to fly a plane, what you going to do? You know, and whoever started the aviation business, they need to learn to change. You're getting on a plane and you go to a building called a terminal. Why call it a terminal? Could have called it something else, but a terminal. Where you going? To the terminal. Then they tell you, if anything happens, there will be oxygen masks fall out.
put them on your face and breathe normally. You'll suck the whole tank in one breath. I don't know who set that system up. Then there's a little card that you pull out and it says, just in case. Now they got a new ruling. If you sit in the exit seat, you got to help others. Forget it. You sit by the door, you out. And we took off. I'm not a pilot or anything, but I think this is right, that the most critical time of flying is taking off and landing because you're close to the ground. And I was flying to Houston to preach a meeting. You know, if you got time to do something, if you're up there, I think you can fix things. I don't know. I'm not a pilot. So we took off, and, you know, I thought this was great, and this lady was sitting by me. And as we took off, we lost an engine. I mean, we wasn't more than, I don't know, maybe 200 feet off the ground, 100 feet. And I don't know. I don't understand how that works, because I thought you can fly on all of them. If one goes off, you got another one or something like that. But sometimes that don't work. And we come slamming down to the ground. And I shouted. I went, glory to God, lady, we're going to heaven. She said, don't say that. Don't say that. And she grabbed me by the arm and just, I mean, almost, her fake nails were popping off, man. Bing, they were busting me. Man, you don't know what you're getting today. I saw my wife not long ago, and I said, boy, your nails are beautiful. She said, you want one? Just took it off and gave it to me. Just gave it to me. I didn't know what I had. We come slamming to the ground and went sideways. People screaming and hollering. One lady threw it out of the seat. She didn't have her seatbelt on. Broke her legs. People screaming and hollering. We finally leveled out and all that kind of stuff. And I don't think you can use that plane. You know, they finally got it to the terminal. And I said, listen, I got to go preach. Y'all get me another plane. I got to do something. And they did get another plane. And only three of the people got on that plane, and that plane was full. They said, we ain't flying today. And I shouted, hallelujah, we're going to heaven. It's fun being saved. There ain't no devil what the devil's doing. But it's amazing. I was one of the threes, too. And then when the two people sat by me. Now, there's a whole empty plane. This person sitting in the middle seat and one in the window. I said, there's a whole empty plane. They said, we sitting by you. Now, that's a true story. Scared. I got many plane things. It's fun being saved. For me to live is Christ. You're not afraid to die? No. Why? Because I know if that would happen, the next person I'll see is Jesus Christ. And he'll say, hi, Jesse. Hello, Jesus. My point is simply this. The presence of Christ must fill your whole conscious existence, while communion with him should be the very breath of life. Your whole conscious existence must be filled with Jesus. When you get up in the morning, you say, hello, Jesus. When you go to bed at night, you say, good night, Jesus. Your whole conscious spirit, soul, and body, you're walking in the light of Jesus Christ. When people get around you, they see life flowing out of you. If they're sick, they say, pray for you. If they pray for me, if they say, we're in financial debt, help me. I've had people do me that all the time I've been here. They say, you got so much joy. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. I'm healed. I got faith that I can use anytime I want and get anything I want. And my God, that ought to make you happy. Don't you think? So the presence of Christ must fill your whole conscious existence, while communion with him is the very breath of life. That's what Paul is saying here in that little verse. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Well, why wasn't you afraid? Because you macho man? No, I mean, it hurts to die, I think. I'll tell you why I wasn't afraid. Isaiah 26, verse 3. Thou will keep him in perfect peace. Or in other words, in matured peace. In other words, when everything's going wrong, if you've got matured peace in your life, the devil cannot shake the faith of God in your life. Isaiah 26:3. If you want to turn to it, you can. Thou will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind, that's the soul of man, mind, will, and emotion, is stayed, fixed, stuck on, because you trusteth in Christ. It's called perfect peace. Flowing in the anointing of the Lord. I was praying one time, not long ago, and I said, Jesus, I just love you. I said, man, I just love you. And it was that night, and the Lord said, go outside, I'm going to show you something. And I said, you know, how do you see me? You got all these millions of people and billions of people across this planet. You got billions of galaxies and planets and all kinds. How do you see me? He said, go outside, I'll show you something. So I went outside. I mean, I just stand. He said, look up. What do you see? I said, I see darkness. I mean, I said, nighttime, God, down here. He said, well, look a little further. What else you see? I said, well, I see stars. He said, you notice some burn brighter than others. Look around, Jesse. I'm looking around. I said, yeah. He said, look at those stars. Some of them were burning brightly, you know. Then some were kind of like, barely letting light get through. He said, that's how I see the body of Christ. He said, you have the light of the world around you, yet the prince of the power of darkness is all around. The reason why I can see you, because y'all are lights in a dark place. You're lights in a dark place. Think about that for a minute. So I'm getting a revelation on that. I'm going, glory to God. He said, now watch. Boy, and I saw some burning brightly. And I said, he said, some burn real brightly. He said, some people's lives are just like that star, barely burning. Ooh. By that time I saw a falling star. It went, whew. I said, what's that, God? He said, that those filled with the Holy Ghost and fire. He said, they leave trails of fire wherever they go. Glory to God. Hallelujah. It's fun being saved. For me to live is Christ. Whole conscious existence. Is my face getting red? Ah, you ought to know what I feel inside. If this leg goes up, it's hallelujah. If that one goes up, it's praise God. If both goes up, it's the rapture. Glory to God. Hallelujah. For me to live is Christ. How many of y'all believe in the rapture? Say, come Lord Jesus. Wouldn't that be wonderful? We'd finish the Believers' Convention. It would be the first Southwest Believers' Convention in heaven! Heaven! Whole conscious existence. Presence of Christ. Man, I stayed out in that yard just watching stars. I couldn't help it. Burning brightly. He said, that's how I know where you are. Because this prince of the power of the air, this dark man, has darkness all over, but lights are shining through. That's what Paul's saying. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Well, you're not afraid? No. Why? Because Isaiah 26:3, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Do you trust Jesus? Ah, think about that for a minute. When everything is going wrong, do you use your faith to sustain you? That devil gonna fight you tooth and toenail. Now he ain't got many teeth and toenails left, but he still will fight you. He's not a very big devil. He's on the limits of retardation. I really believe that. He's just a little jockey imp devil. That's all he is. He ain't much of that. In fact, if you're gonna talk to him, you gotta get on your knees and look under your shoe. If you actually wanna talk to him, I mean, he's down there. He really is. So when you understand what he really is, that he's spiritually dead, and you spiritually lied, Brother Copeland said it, there's a consuming fire in him. So he's smaller today than he was yesterday. And if you've been in this Believers' Convention, you're bigger today than you were yesterday. Now you think about that. See, it's fun being saved. My daughter asked me one time, she said, Dad, do you ever get tired of going to church? No, I like to eat. I enjoy going to church. I fly to most of my meetings, but years ago when I'd drive, sometimes I'd be driving home, they'd have a service somewhere. I'd just stop by Baptist churches, Methodist churches, Episcopalian, Catholic church. I'd just come in and just kneel down or sit down and just praise the Lord. I don't have any problem with that because, you see, I'm not going to church to find God. I'm bringing him with me. You understand? I just bring him with me. I mean, you know, you can't get depressed. I had a very famous gentleman. If I named him, you'd know him because he's got a worldwide ministry. I was sitting, bless God, at dinner. He said, you know, Jesse, money don't seem to bother you. Women don't seem to bother you. Is there anything that bothers you, boy? I said, traffic bothers me. That does bother me.
I've had to crucify my flesh over traffic. I mean that. I'm telling you, traffic. I mean, talk to God, man. I start talking to people in another car like as if they can hear me. What's the matter with you? You can't drive the car? Move. Come on. Hurry. What do you think? It's Christmas? Let's go. Hurry. Move. And they do something I don't like. I ask Kathy, why are they doing that? She says, I don't know. I've never met those people. Boy, I mean, you can get in the flesh in a second. But if your mind is stayed upon Jesus, perfect peace comes into your life. I had the honor of marrying my daughter. I buried my mother, preached a funeral, married my father to another woman. I told him he could kiss the bride, and I thought he just gonna go, you know, but old dad put a double lip lock on the woman. I mean, he just did. He just blew the socks off of me. I did. I just thought, you know, especially in front of your son. I guess he was ready. I don't know. I bowed my head and said, boy, mama, see this, we're all going to die. I didn't tell him that, but I said that. Now, I don't know how God's going to fix that, because if Jesus comes, that Bible said the dead in Christ going to rise first. Right? So mama's gone. Wham! Body connected to the soul and the spirit. Then daddy and Esther is going. Now I know my daddy. And if my mama's standing on that cloud, daddy walk up with Esther, mama will say, Paul, who's that woman? I know my daddy. You say, I don't know. I never saw her before in my life. I don't know who she is. I know my daddy. That's hard to see your daddy date. My daddy dated and stayed at my house. You know what I told him? I want you here at 12 o'clock. You understand? Remember me telling that? 12 o'clock, not 12:01. Don't give me this hogwash that you had a flat tire. I want you here. And he would hold her hand. See what you felt like? I wanted to go over there and slap his hand. What's the matter with you? Get your hormones together, boy. Come on, man. You're supposed to be my daddy. That's hard. That's not easy. How many of you went through that? You know what I'm talking about. I had trouble with that until the Lord rebuked me. He said, I sent that woman to that man. Shut up and leave her. Leave him alone. He needs her. I said, okay, God. He said, now go on. I'll take care of everything. But that's hard. My sister didn't know. She'll tell you one thing. Bless God. See, women are worse, man. Women get emotional and that kind of stuff. Women don't want you to marry for at least 40 years. Because they're more emotional about that. Well, tell you one thing, she ain't even cold in the grave. Well, she's cold the day she died. But women want you to suffer. I prefer, if you're going to die, the husband should die first. Why? Because if the wife dies first, the man don't know what to do. Because he don't know where nothing is. He don't know where nothing is. He don't have no idea of nothing going on in the house. When my mother died, I said, Daddy, where are your papers? Well, paper all over here. I don't know. I said, well, Daddy, do you have a burial policy? He said, yeah, I don't know where it is. Daddy, how much money you got in your checkbook? He said, I don't know. So we go, I'm looking at the stereo. I said, Daddy, how do you put the stereo on? He said, don't touch the stereo. Mama said not to touch the stereo. He never touched that stereo. We had a stereo for 20 years, and my dad never touched it. Why? Because it had been judgment day for him. My mama said, don't you touch that stereo. What are you saying here? It's fun being saved. In other words, your whole conscious existence should commune with Jesus. I can understand Paul. He said, for me to live is Christ. I love witnessing for Jesus. I enjoy it. I told the people in the first service that I ran across a bunch of Hare Krishnas in an airport. It was ching, chang, and ching, chang, and ching, and chang. And I was speaking in tongues right behind them. It was fun. I enjoyed that. But you know the amazing thing to me? Where was the Christians? Laugh now. Where were the Christians? All the Christians out there. Ching, 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 ching. Where were the Christians? Oh, we don't do that. We just go to church on Sunday morning. And we don't talk about God until the next Sunday morning. Where were the Christians? Where were we that believe the fullness of God's word? Don't shout me down. Thank you. Listen. You know, I thought, Well, that's not my ministry. Your ministry is to let your light shine. That people may see the good works of Christ in your life. You know, people will honor prayer. I don't mind. You know, I've seen a lot of Christians pray over food, but bless God, they kind of look around before they do, so let's pray. And they say kind of, amen. They're embarrassing to do that. People get embarrassed. Why? You got to eat the stuff. You don't know where it come from. He may come out with a platter like this, bless God, in a beautiful tuxedo. But you go in that kitchen, it may be right outside. The fish fell on the ground, but you don't know. Just put it on a nice piece of china. China. It's fun. You know, the Lord has a great sense of humor. Look at some of the people he created. Looked like he's tired sometimes, didn't he? I've seen some people, I said, boy, God, you needed a night's rest before you made that one song. What are you saying here? Can you talk to Jesus like, yeah, he's my father. We have great conversations. The Lord's a funny individual. He really is. I'll tell you a story. Don't tell nobody. It's really the truth. When I first got a hold of Brother Copeland and Sister Gloria's tapes, you know, I said, well, bless God. If Kenneth Copeland can say that, so can I. Well, you can say it, but bless God, you got to have some meat behind it, you know. I said, if any I ever see any devil, I'll just cast him out. And that's where it's going to be. I didn't stay in hotels in those days. Stayed in people's homes. And this lady and man had a beautiful home. And they had a little room. It wasn't a little room, pretty nice sized room. It was all fixed nice. And they said, Reverend Duplantis, if you stay here with us, we have a swimming pool if you'd like to use the pool, whatever, during the day, and we won't bother you and everything. You just enjoy yourself. You know, the great man of faith and power that I was. I said, well, thank you. Well, I got my room, and I like to kind of read the Word of God before I go to sleep, put a scripture in my mind so the devil can't put nothing in it. Fill it up first, you know. You usually do that with your stomach. Do that with your mind, too. You know, I got in there, fell off to sleep, and I woke up about 3 o'clock in the morning, and I saw this big gray-looking thing just doing this at me. The first thing I thought of, a devil. Especially if you're in somebody's house. So I was in the bed, man. And I could see it in the corner. And I said, get out of here, devil. In Jesus' name. And he just looked at me. I said, this ain't working. So I thought I'd say it again. I said, get out of here in Jesus' name. And I heard the Lord, well, why don't you just get out of that bed and go get it? You, I ain't going out there. Now, don't tell me how many times you had your leg hanging off a bed and the devil said, and there's a monster under your bed. And just slip that leg back up. Ask your husband to go put the light on so you can go to the bathroom. They ain't going to get out of there. Full of the Holy Ghost. I began to rebuke that thing. And every once in a while, he would stand still and just move. I mean, I spit and scream. And when I say screaming, at a low scream. I mean, I hollered. I used the blood of Jesus. That didn't work. I used the name of Jesus. That didn't work. I tried faith, and that didn't work. I even tried grace. I did anything. Get that devil out that room. Get out of here. I even stood up in the bed, and I'd walk toward the end of the bed and just come out. I said, get out of here. I said, I mean, spitting. I mean, doing everything I know to do. I was a baby Christian, had my Pampers on. Where the devil? I mean, I was ready, so I spit and screamed at that stinking thing till 5 o'clock in the morning, and it wouldn't move. And the day of 5:30, actually, the daylight began to come through, and it was a raincoat hanging over a rack. A raincoat kept me up for 2.5 hours, rebuking, rebuking, rebuking. Isn't it fun being saved? And the reason why it would move, the air condition kick on the vent, hit the thing, and it do that. I got mad at God, Kenneth. I said, God, what's wrong? I've been rebuking this raincoat for 2.5 hours. You could have told me something. And the Lord said, Jesse, that's the funniest thing I ever saw. You rebuking that raincoat, boy. Rebuking a raincoat. That's a true story. Rebuke a raincoat. Now, did God say that? Yes. You think I lied to you? The Lord's got a sense of humor. Look at some of the men that he asked, had on his staff. He had 12 men. They didn't go to ORU. I call them Cajun Jews. They're ignorant and unlearned. They'd pray for you and slap you and cuss you.
cut your ear off. God had to put it on. I'll cut your head off next time, Jack. You're messing with me. You know, Pentecostal people are willing people. Half of them are willing to work and the other half's willing to let them. You know that. But what Jesus says, if you keep your conscience filled and communion with him as the very breath of life, why would you ever want to get sick? You wouldn't have time. I hadn't been sick in, my God, oh, I don't know how many years. I heard about divine health. Everybody told me that don't, that, and most people told me sick as a dog. Said, that don't work, man. So I could tell it don't work for you. And you know, people ought to be glad that you're not sick, but they're mad because you're not sick. They want you to get sick. I'm praying. I tell you what, wait, your day is coming. Your day is coming. Your day is coming. I said, no, my day done went. You know. I told one lady, well, what you going to do if you get sick? I said, well, you'll have an opportunity to pray for me. Have you prayed for me before? Well, no. I said, well, maybe if I got sick, you might pray for me. I was at a funeral one time. This lady, I walked up the casket viewing the body. The lady walked up and said, watch your television show. I said, thank you. She said, pray for me. I said, bow your head. She said, here. I said, well, the guy in the casket ain't going to hear us. You want me to pray for you? Yeah, bow your head. She said, it's embarrassing. I said, close your eyes. Ain't nobody going to see you. Just close your eyes. I just prayed for her. She wanted me to pray for her. Well, why not there? I don't, why not? See, what I'm saying is this. Enthusiasm in Christ begins with regeneration and is realized by faith. And it's sustained and increased by divine knowledge. It's fun being saved. Let me say that again. Enthusiasm in Christ begins with regeneration. You can come boldly to the throne of grace. Say, hello, Jesus. Hi, Jesse. Notice both our names starts with a J. There must be something spiritual about that. I don't know. Enthusiasm in Christ begins with regeneration. And it's realized by faith. I'm telling you, it's realized by faith, but it's sustained and increased by divine knowledge. I have enthusiasm in my home life, my public life, and my church life. I just have enthusiasm. You don't have any trouble? I got a lot of trouble. I preach in all kinds of churches, hot ones, cold ones, warm ones. I'm all temperature. I work in any degree. It don't make no difference. I understand it. Then you get a real bad one, just shout it out, and it'll get out the collar. You know, just, you know, I'm not going there for them people to move me. I'm not there for them to try to get me stirred up. I'm there to preach what Jesus told me to preach. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So when you walk in that anointing of God, when you flow in that anointing, it's fun being saved. Well, you don't have any trouble. Sure, I've had people try to shoot us. You know, I mean, you know, I had people picket my meetings. I used to be on radio a lot, and I had a lot of radio. Radio was me and R.W. Shambach, we were close by, and on, especially in Louisiana. And man, I mean, we would have a time, you know, he was in the morning, I was at night, and sometimes they play our programs over during the day, and I'd talk to him. So I'd say, hello, R.W., just about ready to warm you up. And he probably never heard who I was, but he found out later who I was. And I'd talk to him, you know, by radio. And what I mean by that, by sermons. And we would just have a good time, and people enjoyed it. And I knew how to keep an audience. You know, I just knew how to keep, because if you make them mad, they're going to listen to you. They're going to say, see what he's going to say next. Bless God, just see what he's going to say next. So I was talking about people being in bondage. I said, some of you people, all you can talk about is what people wear. My God, if they wear makeup. Do you know most of you ladies here tonight could not be saved 30 years ago? You got makeup on your faces, you bunch of Jezebels. Had the weirdest thing you ever heard in your life. And it all went to the woman. A man could wear the top fashion of the day. Woman had to have hair on her legs so she could be holy. You know, just walking around. Just walking around. Hallelujah. I mean ugly. We had small churches because we had ugly people. I believe it's a sin for some women not to wear makeup. I believe it is. I don't mean that in a rude sense, and probably a man too. I never forget one time a man said, I heard a preacher say it, we'll not have any sleeveless dresses in this church because it brings forth lust. My God, man, if an armpit turns you on, you need deliverance. You need to come down here and get healed somehow. An armpit. I ain't never saw a man say, hey, check that woman's armpit out there. Wow, boy. My God, my God.
Is that insane? You know, we laugh about that, but people lived under that yoke of bondage and died when all they had to do was preach him Jesus. All they had to do was be enthused about what God had given them, but they didn't have a knowledge of it. Realized it by faith, sustain it, increase it by divine knowledge. People say, why you got full of joy? Why are you full of joy? Psalms 132, verse 16. I will also clothe her priests with salvation, and her saints shall shout aloud for joy. I don't mind. And I tell you what, I've shouted when I didn't want to shout. I got, you know, I have some tapes called What to Do When the Shout's Gone. It isn't easy sometimes. I've had God say, shout! And I go, hallelujah. It's just sometimes you don't feel like it, but you're not moved by your feelings. Sometimes you don't feel like going to work, but that don't change it. You go anyway because your wife makes you go. You got to go. There's no other choice. You just got to. Sometimes I don't want to preach. Sometimes I don't want to do nothing. I mean, that's sometimes, I may have said it here, I'll say it again. I have walked up behind a pulpit, big church, 6,000 people in it. Bless God, man. Look at them, I say, oh, Lord, let them all go to hell. Let's go home and get out of here. I done had enough of this. You get like that sometimes. I don't know why people got to write about people all the time. I mean, my God, there's so many other subjects in the Bible and so many other subjects in the world you can write about instead of trying to cut somebody. Or trying to build a ministry by cutting someone. I never can understand that. I mean, you don't have to agree with everything anybody says, but you don't have to cut their guts out neither at the same time. I've said that before. I mean, a lot of things that people say in ministries that I don't necessarily agree with, but I mean, I don't build a sermon on it. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I mean, I don't do that kind of stuff. I mean, you know, I don't have time for that to start with. There's a lost and dying world going to hell. They got people that are saved. The devil's kicking their brains out, and they ought to be at a believer's convention to learn something. But you know what? Somebody writing a book saying, well, this place ain't right. Yes, it is right. Look around you. Not all of us are wrong. I mean, there's something right, and it's called Jesus Christ, and it's the word of faith that'll minister life to you. It is right. You may not believe it, but it still is. I mean, you know why? Build a ministry on someone else's bones. Trying to build a foundation on someone else's bones. People are always asking me, they always ask me doctrinal questions. And I'm not interested. I know what I believe, and I'm not going to try to convince you to believe the way I believe. I'm going to just tell you what Jesus said. You want to be wrong, your business, just be wrong. I know the Holy Ghost is for today, because I got it. I know the gifts of the Spirit are for today, because I moved in them. I know healing's for today, because it sure beats being sick. And God's no respect to person. And the greater one lives inside us. And he said no weapon formed to get you. Didn't say the weapon wouldn't be formed. He said no weapon that is formed will prosper. That doesn't mean they're not going to be formed. I mean, things will come against you. But Jesus said if you stand on my word, it'll work for you. Well, how long do I have to stand? I don't know. There's nothing else. It just says, dunning all the stand, stand. Just stand. But that's the hardest thing to do is just stand. Sometimes it's hard to sit, isn't it? I see a lot of y'all, man, doing these, you turn from one side, turn the other side. And Brother Copeland comes down here and he'll walk way over here and preach it. And all you people got your necks bent. And you're like, then here come Brother Copeland, bless God. And your neck's tight. You're going, and he'll come over here for a while. And then your neck starts getting bent. Is that correct? How many people know what I'm talking about? And after a while, there's no blood in your foot. You start doing this. And when he says, stand up, praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Stand up. Yes, Lord. You see people get up and go, that's not the Holy Ghost, man. Where's the blood? Come on. That's true. I saw a lady the other night, her leg went to sleep on it. She got up and started to walk out. I said, how'd you like to meet? It's wonderful. If I can just get this leg to work, bless God, it's wonderful. I'm pretty sure God smiles at that too. It's fun being saved. It is fun being saved. What do you say? Enthusiasm. You'll get more people saved if you're excited about Jesus than if you're indoctrinated about him. You'll get more people saved. When I talk to people about Jesus, I said, hey, let me tell you about Christ. They go, no, I'm not into religion. I said, neither am I. Religious people don't talk like me. born again people do. I said, let me just tell you about Jesus. I got to tell you about it. Well, you know, I'm not interested in that. I said, you have never been presented a live Christ. I had a gentleman the other day on a plane. He was an Iranian fella. He said, why is your Jesus so much better than Muhammad or Buddha? I said, well, Jesus, out of the three, is the only one said he's the Son of God. He's the only one that done miracles to prove everybody he was. And he's the only one alive. You figure it out, boy. That's pretty simple to me. I mean, that's pretty good evidence. I said, Muhammad's dead. Buddha's dead. I mean, you know, but Jesus is alive. I said, and he said, when you see me, you see the Father. And the religious crowd said, stone you, boy. Boy, you can speak a truth and make people mad about it. But the Bible said the truth will set you free. Paul said, because I told you the truth, I've made you my enemy. My daddy walked out of my house over Kenneth Copeland and Kenneth Higgins. Got hot. I asked my daddy, I'll never forget that, man. He was in my house. I said, Daddy, do you believe in healing? I'll tell you what, bless God, I've been standing on the word of God. Well, you say that. He said, I've been believing healing a lot since I'm saved. I said, well, Dad, you sure are sick a lot. He said, just who do you think you are? I said, whatever that man on television says. He said, man, that man don't know what he's talking about. He ain't never walked through heart attacks and all that kind of stuff. I said, Daddy, I said, Brother Hagin. And he said, I don't want to hear about it. I tell you what. He said, well, you think you got a little bit of the word of God in your life? Who do you think you are? And he slammed out my house. I said, that's it. He's mad. But I sat there. I said, well, now, God, maybe. I said, Lord, maybe I just sounded my daddy. But I just, you know, I'm tired of the devil kicking his head off. Been for years having had a first heart attack at 34. Brought in at 12 years old and said, your dad's going to die. And he did. Because somebody prayed. Thank God. And he had a heart attack at 42 and one at 44. I mean, he was on total disability. I mean, just the devil fighting. Finally, I said, Daddy, if you believe in healing, something ought to work. And he got mad about that. And I can understand that. So I said, Lord, he said, just stay where you are. It wasn't the morning, I guess, about 25 minutes, the phone rang. I said, he's going to chew me out. He said, boy, I want to tell you something. The Holy Ghost rebuked me. I preached a lot about faith. And I preached a lot about healing, but I didn't stand on it. He said, I want to thank you. And I don't know those gentlemen you're listening to, but I want to thank them. He said, from this day forward, I am healed. Amen. I'll never forget that. Daddy said that. And he was. It was over, Brother Copeland. Daddy quit taking medicine, didn't take medicine for 12, 15 years. I mean, just nothing. I mean, just healed. And all it took was a decision. I mean, that could have happened years before. One decision. One decision. Enthusiasm enough to say, God either can have a live preacher or a dead preacher. One way or the other, I'm his. And God don't like dead ones. He wants live ones. Oh, you understand what I'm saying? Enthusiasm. What I'm saying, a life in Christ means the example of Christ is its motto. The will of Christ is its laws. The glory of Christ is its end. See, the only way to have fun being saved is you have to be fully acquainted as much as you can with Christ's rank, his character, his plans, and his relationships he sustained with his Father. I am an avid student of the faith of Jesus. What would he do in this situation? How would he handle this situation? When sin comes my way, it comes in my mind. What would Christ do in this situation? When I go to pray for somebody that's sick, I ask myself, do I want that person healed? Because the book of Peter says, by Jesus' stripes, they are healed. Or do I want that person healed so that television camera can record, and before you know it, everybody says, that new planet's boy got a healing ministry. Motive. Why do I want that person healed? I always ask myself, God, why am I doing what? I check myself on a daily basis. Because I don't want to be found me. I want to say to me, to live is Christ. Enthusiasm. Now, I can get funny and make you fall out them chairs, but let me do a little preaching first. When you understand that Christ is my model and example, and he had a sense of humor. And then there's some strange boys. I mean, Jesus couldn't sit down without some guy come putting his head on his chest, which is weird looking, if you really think about it. I mean, if you had a man sitting there, some other guy got his head in his chest going, well, I just love you. He'd call an usher. Usher, come here, help me. But Jesus had those kind of guys.
Had one stealing money. He had a scandal too. Stealing money. Jesus knew about it. And he said, what you do, do quickly. And he knew about it. Praying for that boy. He understood. Had his head man. Whoo. Full of anger. Great physical courage, but not a lot of moral courage. Bible said Peter followed Christ from far off. That's the only time in the Bible it says that. And that's the time he fell. I look at those boys and I think, my God, man, there's hope for me. You know, I've studied their characters and their lives. Why did Jesus pick these boys? Because there were some things in them that God could use. Why did Jesus pick me? Why would God want to save me to start with? Because he saw something in me that he could work with. He saw something in you that he could work with. Now, the world may not think it's much, but to Christ, it's great. So I begin to study Christ, this character. What would Jesus do in this situation? And if you keep your mind consumed with what would Christ would do, your faith and Christ's faith will flow out of you automatically. See, so when temptation comes, because your mind is not on it, it stayed upon the things of God, you're in perfect peace. You're not aware because there is no temptation can take you. You understand? God makes a way of escape. Now, if you are not prayed up and read up and living for Jesus with a relationship and a fellowship, you're going to fall. Because your flesh man builds and your spirit man slowly decreases. Maybe not a lot at one time, but it don't take much to get sin in you. So I decided, now hang on when I say this, I have a hard time sinning. I got to make myself. I got to get in the flesh to do it. Every time sins come before my eyes, the Holy Ghost says, check me. Don't look at that. Watch this. Pick up. Get out of here. Move. I have never been caught by surprise. He's warned me every time. Why? Because when the Spirit of truth has come, he would guide you in all truth. All truth, not just some truth. See, God said to become childlike. He didn't say become childish. There are a lot of people come childish. Bless God, I'm leaving this church because there just ain't no love. I asked a lady that one. She said, I'm leaving there. I said, well, you got love? She said, well, yes. I said, well, the Bible said love never faileth. Where are you going? Oh, you got love? Yeah, well, stay. Since love never faileth, where are you going? If you leave, you're telling me love fails. No love that fails. There's no love here. I said, no, what you want is attention. I said, just grow up a little bit. You see, the older you married, the more signals you can read from each other. You ever notice people when they first get married, they give each other rashes. They walk so close to each other. You ever notice that? They're just rubbing on each other. Got their hand. Bless God, man. You know. They sit in the car. You get behind them. You see one head. And you know that woman sitting on seatbelt buckles. That's got to hurt. But she just won't be close to that man. But there's a difference between loving and being in love. When you're in love with Jesus instead of just loving Christ, when you're in love, it's fun being saved. There are a lot of people here today I love, but I'm in love with Kathy Duplantis. There's a difference. In love, that's a difference. When you just look, you see, you just don't care. You just look at each other. There's signals wives and husbands give each other. They just know. They can just look, and that woman might just go. And you think, They say, why don't y'all come on? Oh, no, we got to go home. We got to go home. We just got to go home. Yeah. There's a lot of things to do here. But thank you. We'll take you up on that. Come on, mama. Let's go. Don't have to say a word. And I find the older you get, you begin to look like each other. And you quit calling each other by your name. You start calling each other mama and daddy. You ever notice that? Hey, mama, what you want, daddy? I saw a 96-year-old man kiss a 93-year-old woman. It took a long time. It did. Because it's like this. Now, I'm not making fun of old people. But wait a minute. The wife, the little lady, shook exactly the same way. So, I mean, it just come together. And I never forget that old graveled voice from that man. He said, love you, mama. And she said, love you, daddy. And I said, that's love. They was in two wheelchairs. She was still running around. She said, come on, let's go. Okay, mama. Now, what I thought, what did that man see? I'll tell you what I saw. But what did he see? He saw that 15-year-old girl he married. She saw that 18-year-old boy, strong. I saw two old people in a wheelchair. And I loved them. But when you're in love, the perspective is totally different. You're just in love. I can tell my wife, man, when we go somewhere, you know, she just, you know, I like to watch people. Now, my wife loves clothes. The other day we passed by a dress, Brother Ken. Kathy looked at me and went, I thought, my God, get behind her. Get an usher here. Praise God. Come on, mama. She go, women, I mean, they see something beautiful. Isn't that beautiful? Yeah, that's nice. And they sneak up on prices. They don't walk up like a man and say, how much that suit is? Or how much that pants? Not a woman. They walk, they go to the clothes rack. They know it's, they go. They grab that tag and they don't just flip, they go. And when they look, they go. And some of them that are not truly saved get a little magic mark out. Mark that dress, said, I can't buy it full price, got a mark on it. I've seen women do that. Yeah, of course, none of y'all have ever done that. They just sneak up to it. And Kathy, she says, oh, I'm just not going to buy that. It's just too much. I say, you want that? Do you want me to have it? You see, they want to throw it to you, brother. I said, well, if you like it, I'll buy it for you. I said, well, if you want it, that's fine. Yeah, you can have it. Do you know how much it costs? Well, what difference does that make? You're going to buy it anyway. Ain't no use. So she gets it, and she likes it. And that's fine. Listen, if mama ain't pleased, ain't nobody pleased. That's really the truth. It's fun being saved. So I just do whatever she asks me to do. Because, and I make jokes, but I mean, I'm her husband, she's my wife. We're together, we're one in Christ. We both ought to be having fun. So I said, I'll be selfish. I'll tell you something. You say stupid things when you get in the flesh. I got mad at Kathy. Oh, I was out cutting backyard, the grass, and I was hot, man. She made me, and she can make me madder than anybody that ever walked the face of the earth, but she can make me gladder, if that's the word, than anyone else. And she was, I mean, she just, and I was talking to myself, and the devil was with me, you know. I said, I'll tell you one thing, boy, three, one, two, like crazy. Woman, one, dude, I'm just cutting grass, you know, man. Bag grass flying on. I said, that's it, man. I'm going in there and give that woman a piece of my mind and anything else I can find. Boy, and the Lord said, what's the matter with you, man? I said, God, take this one. And I said this, truth. I mean, you say stupid things to God as well as people when you're in the flesh. He said, now listen, the Lord spoke to me. He said, I want you to cut that lawnmower off and go give that woman that MasterCard. I said, you don't understand these things because you've never been married. Listen, you don't understand these things. Now, I said that. Is that stupid to tell God that? He said, you have that visa. You don't think twice to go in there and get what you want. He said, now, I tell you what, and I was mad at her. I mean hot, man. So I cut that line, I wasn't going to disobey her. I was just going to chew her out about something. So I just walked in that place, and I said, I'm going to tell you something, woman. You listen to me. And Kathy was in the kitchen, which was a miracle. No. I said, I'm going to tell you something, woman. She says, I bind you, you devil. Get out of my house. Wait a minute. Were you there? She said, I bind you. Get out of my house. Jesse, stay where you are. Well, she rebuked the devil, didn't she? Now, I don't have nobody to help me.
Now she said, now what do you want, honey? Nothing. Not a thing. I don't want anything. I walked back outside. The Lord said, the MasterCard. I walked back and I said, Kathy, what? I said, the Lord told me to give her this MasterCard. She said, you obey Jesus, Jesse. Obey him. And you know, I spend more money than she does. We pay them every 30 days. We don't pay no interest and stuff like that. We just use to keep records and things. But that's true. And the I went back out, started lying more, and the Lord said, well, you've done everything. Now you got to repent. I said, man, that's a lot in one day, Jesus. I said, you know how to wreck somebody over the coals. He said, repent. I'll forgive you. I said, God, forgive me for being selfish. Forgive me for listening to the devil. And for destroying my witness. And Lord, I'm going to tell you something. By now, I'm feeling, you know, my heart's small. I said, I'll never do this again. He said, now don't start lying while you're repenting. Let's take it a day at a time, Jess. Have you ever done that? It's fun being saved. But sometime, and I close with this, God will put you in funny situations. I was in Denver and preaching. I went up to Montana and preached at a college in Montana. Missoula, Montana, I think is where I flew out of. And I had to go to Salt Lake City, Utah, to Denver, Colorado, to Dallas, Texas, to New Orleans, Louisiana. And I don't want to go to all them places because I just want to go to New Orleans, but you got to go. So I said, okay, Lord. And so I took the trip and got to Salt Lake, and we changed planes and got on another plane and flew to Denver. I hadn't been home in a while, and I couldn't wait to get home. I said, man, I just want to go home. And I'm standing there, and they're starting to load the plane up. And I like a certain seat on the plane. I always try to get that. And I was just praising the Lord. And I said, boy, it's fun being saved. Father, I just thank you, Lord. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I hear your word. I read your word. I flow in your anointing. And the Lord said, Jesse, I don't want you to get on the plane. And I said, what? He said, there will be trouble on this plane. Don't get on it. Now, this is at Stapleton Airport in Denver. I said, trouble? He said, don't get on the plane. He said, take the next flight. I said, but Lord, I just like to kind of go home, you know? He said, don't get on the plane. Just as simple. I mean, just. So I went to the lady. I said, when is the next flight to? I know you got to go to Dallas and New Orleans. She said, 9 hours from now. And I said, God, I don't want to have to stand at the airport for 9 hours. He said, you can preach for 9 hours. There are a lot of sinners here. You can let your light so shine. Don't get on this plane. There's damage to come. I said, man, God, I tell you what, can't you just heal it until I get off of it? You know, just fix it, huh? He said, I'm telling you, don't get on that plane. So I was kind of happy about ready. He said, I want you to go tell that ticket agent that there's problems on this plane. Tell him, don't load this plane, don't take off. I said, God, they're going to think I'm a fruitcake, God, if I go up there and tell them, God told me for y'all not to load this plane. I mean, you know, it's kind of crazy. But when you know the voice of God, you got to do what he said. So I fought it for a few minutes, and there's this guy smoking a big cigar, and he chew on it, you know, kind of gross way he did it. But so I walked up, and he would happen to be sitting real close to where the ticket. I said, ma'am, I'm going to take the next flight out of here. I said, but the Lord told me to tell you that there's damage that's going to happen on this plane, so you might want to get another one. Don't fly this one. She said, who told you? I said, the Lord. She said, the Lord who? I said, the Lord, God, Jesus. And she went, the first thing, I said, lady, listen to what I'm saying. I said, if this plane takes off, we got problems. I said, I'm a man of the Lord. I know you think I'm a fruitcake. I know it sounds nuts, but don't fly this plane. She said, well, we're about ready to board. She calls it. You know how to do it.
get on. And this guy gets up from his seat and his cigar. And he goes, phew. I felt so stupid. I said, man, I didn't be stupid. Lord, he said, you told him. I said, I told him, but look at me. Look, they all look at me. And people heard me. They began to go on. And that just makes you mad. They loaded the plane. The devil said, 9 hours, my man. 9 hours. 9 hours. I'm going to drive you nuts for 9 hours. You know how your flesh just building on you, boy. Sure enough, man, they loaded the plane. They said, mister, are you getting on this plane? I said, don't leave this gate. I'm telling you, God said it. I want to go home more than anybody. I don't want to stay in here 9 hours. God, there's something wrong with it. There's nothing wrong with the plane, sir. Are you going to get on the plane or are you going to stay here? You're going to have to put you on standby. You may not make that flight 9 hours from now. No. She said, fine. Close the gate. Boom, they closed the thing. So this was the old Stapleton. They're starting to build a new airport now. Got that glass up in the, you know, and I'm standing there feeling like an idiot. Devil said, bozo brain fool, you idiot. And I'm going, boy, you right. Yeah, you idiot. Lord, man. Sure enough, they push that plane out with the that machine. Then they start putting on the engines and stuff. Zzz, you know, you see it, bless God. And they got it all fixed. And they pulled it out like that. And it's going to taxi to go to the runway. Sure enough. So, man, after the engines are running, you hear it. Zzz, you know, he throttles it a little bit to start taxiing. And he starts to try. And I guess he goes maybe 25 feet. And the thing in the back just blows up. This engine back there. Something just boom, doom. I mean, black smoke. I went, yeah! I shouted. I couldn't help it. I couldn't help it. I didn't mean to shout. I went, look at her. It's working. But boy, they throwed that plane at smoke, man. And people come flying out of that chute. I mean, come out of there, man. I'm sitting there going, just enjoying myself that the plane almost blew up, you know, which was wrong. I mean, something happened. I don't know what, because I don't know nothing about high engine, but I mean, smoke blew. People come flying out that plane. I mean, they slid down that thing and all that stuff. This was years ago. And they brought him back up and they said, it's going to take 2 hours to get another plane out, but we'll have another plane out. And then they grabbed that thing and took it off. That old boy, they'll come back. Everybody was freaking out. And the old boy, he lit a cigar. I just looked at him and smiled. Sure enough, about 2 hours, 2.5 hours later, they had another plane and they had it fixed and everything. They started boarding. And the Lord said, you can get on that one. So that old boy come up there with that cigar. He said, hey, Rev, this one okay? You know, God will honor you. He will honor you. I'm saying that to say, it's fun being saved. He will honor you when the devil's making you think you're the biggest idiot in town. I said, yes, sir, it's okay. He said, what seat you got? I said, I got 10A. He said, I want 10B. I had to smell that old cigar, man, all the way to Dallas and New Orleans. It's fun being saved. You know why it's fun being saved? Because everywhere you go, and I close, God protects you. He protects you. He's got his angels in charge around you. He's not worried about it, so why should you? Think about that. He's walking in perfect faith and expects his people to walk in perfect faith. You enjoyed it tonight?